Gonsword Baptist Church this morning. We're going to go ahead and dismiss our Sunday school classes and have them head downstairs. While the rest of us, we can go ahead and turn in our Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter 16. And we've been talking about principles regarding our relationships, what those look like. Obviously, when we realize that the Lord has designed us to be with other people, to not be isolated, not be alone, but to have contact with individuals in such a way that we would actually, enjoy the fellowship and enjoy being together and truly enjoy those relationships in a godly manner, we then begin to realize there's a way that God wants us to behave in these relationships. Now, we've already talked about communication, because communication is one of the primary principal things that we need to understand regarding relationships. If a person is not using the right words and is not communicating according to God's word, they're going to create problems in that relationship. So again, understanding what we're talking about here, a lot of what we're dealing with are some of the actions and specifically the heart attitude and the mindset that we need to have when we enter into those relationships. We've talked a lot about them, and we just kind of introduced this a little bit last week. We talked again, we're going to look a little bit more into this about this idea and this concept of being meek and being humble and what preferring people looks like. We've talked a lot about charity, and we're not going to continue to, if you will, harp upon that, but it is something that when we look at Scripture, what God wants us to be in these relationships, we find that very clearly he's got some instructions for us. In Proverbs chapter 16 and in verse 19, it says, "Better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud." Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you again for this opportunity and time to be here this morning for this Sunday school hour. And I just pray, Lord, that as the term school implies that we are here to learn, I pray, Lord, that we would learn, receive the instruction, the knowledge, the understanding, and apply our hearts to the wisdom that you have in this book. Lord, I thank you again for teaching us, for guiding us, for leading us into these paths of righteousness. And Lord, I just pray that we would endeavor to do this in every relationship that we have, the relationship with believers, unbelievers, those that are in our family, our spouses, our children, our friends, everyone, Lord, and above all, our relationship with you. And I pray, Lord, you just give me the words to speak this morning, that all that we say and do would be pleasing and honoring in your sight. This I ask in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So we see the very first point that we have up here for today is this, is to be humble, be meek, be preferring other individuals, others. And we find here in Proverbs chapter 16 in verse 19, again, as we've been talking about on Wednesday night, some of the comparative principle. But the idea that we see with this is that God wants us to have the right kind of relationships. And if you're around a bunch of people that are humble and you are humble, there is going to be something that is far better than being proud. Pride is a relationship killer. Not only does it destroy, above all, pride is something that is really, really a major issue with a lot of people. It is something that everybody struggles with. Everybody talks about what they refer to nowadays as every man's sin, in reference to, looking at inappropriate material and pornography, which is not the case anymore, because the greatest number of users, if you will, increasing in that are females, which is disgusting. I mean, God doesn't approve of that in any way, shape, or form. But setting that aside, people, you know, focus on those things and saying, well, that's, you know, every man's problem. It's not every man's problem. Not everybody has issues with that. And we gotta understand that. And look, not everybody has other issues with, say, drugs or alcohol. Not everybody has issues with theft and stealing. Not everybody has issues with lying. But, you know, what we see is everybody has some issues with pride. I mean, it is one of those, if you will, common or most common sins, because that issue of pride will lead you into the other subsets of sins. That's what leads you into doing things inappropriately. That's what leads you into disobeying God, is sitting there saying, well, I'm going to do what I want to do. That's pride. And God says, look, if you're going to have a relationship with another person, you have to be humble. Now, obviously, we understand what it says over there in James chapter 4, where he draws nigh to those that are humble, but resists the proud. The same thing is true with human beings. They want to be around people that are humble, not people that are prideful. Because those are difficult individuals to deal with. Why? Because everything is about them. Their thought processes, their actions, their desires, their wants, everything is engaged with their what they want in life, and if you will, their ego. And God says that's not appropriate. He says here, you know what? It's better to be humble. It's better to be humble. Turn to Isaiah chapter 57. Isaiah chapter 57. Isaiah chapter 57. And look, again, you know, we understand the context of some of these things that we're talking about here. You know, obviously he's dealing with the nation of Israel. He's dealing with their pride. He's dealing with their issues. We can take some application from this because all scripture is profitable. And we find in verse 15, he says, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity." I'm just going to say, if you sit there and meditate on that first phrase, just think about that. High and lofty one with a capital O. And then see the next part. That inhabiteth eternity. That inhabiteth eternity. Anyways, moving on. we're not here to talk about that. Whose name is, with a capital H, holy. It's one of, I mean, you've got two names of the Lord here in this passage. And I'm just, you know, again, you kind of geek out about that and you meditate on that for a while. That'll make you think about things. But here he says, I dwell in the high place and the holy place. Well, amen and praise the Lord. Otherwise he wouldn't be God, right? But look at this next part. With him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. God wants to dwell with those kind of people. We should want to dwell with those kind of people. That's what we should desire in our relationships. That's what we should look for in relationships. You know, some people, they want to hang around successful people. Well, I'll tell you this. Sometimes successful people, they have a tendency to think that they brought the success upon themselves. You hang around with pride people, you're going to wind up being prideful. But what I see here is the Lord enjoys that. And one of the things that's really, truly important about this, and a lot of people talk about revival. I mean, right now, a lot of people are talking about revival. And they don't have any clue what revival means. They just sit there and they throw the word, you know, word out there and they're like, oh, I'm looking forward to the revival in America. And I'm like, okay. Well, did you hear about the revival at that university? And it's like, again, you got to take a look at these things, because sometimes what looks like it might be godly isn't. remember, the Lord tells us very clearly that the devil is a deceiver, and he makes people look like ministers of righteousness. So just be careful. Be careful. But you know what? God's going to revive somebody that is humble and contrite. He doesn't revive the proud. Keep that in mind. But what God's saying here is he's saying, this is what I want. I want the people that I have set aside, specifically here Israel, and the application we can actually take for ourselves is the same, that, you know, here we are, the body of Christ. What does God want with us? He wants us to be humble. He desires us to be humble. Micah 6:8 is a verse that we've talked about frequently, where it talks about what man is to be doing. And he says, you know, if you will, just turn there, Micah chapter 6. If you can find Jonah, you can find Micah. It's right afterward. But Micah chapter 6 in verse 8, he hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. That's the key important part. And look, here, let's understand this. We walk humbly with God. We should have the same walk that is revealed to other people. You cannot walk humbly with God and be pride-filled around others. It doesn't work that way. Because when you walk humbly with God, I mean, again, just think about it. With what we just read over there in Isaiah chapter 57, his name is holy. He's the high and lofty one. He inhabits eternity. He is the creator of everything. He has made you. He has made you a specific way. He has saved your soul because you couldn't save yourself from your own sin. He has given you an inheritance of eternal life. He's given you everything you need, his word, the Holy Spirit to teach you, other believers around you to support you and encourage you, edify you, and help you along the way. He's given you everything you could ever possibly need. Because you can't do it. And walking with that mentality with God is what is required. And when that is done, when that is accomplished in a person's life, the end result is you will be having the same type of, if you will, influence with other people. Because that's, again, where we see some of that meekness come in. You cannot be pride-filled and meek at the same time. It doesn't work. You cannot prefer another person if you are not humble. It just doesn't work. Turn to Zephaniah. The book of Zephaniah. It's a few books over. In Zephaniah chapter 2 here. Verse 3, it says, "Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger." Now again, understanding, you know, what this is about and who this is talking to and talking about, you know, the day of the Lord and understanding that, I get that. But what we see with that principle right there is this. He says, seek righteousness. We know we're supposed to seek righteousness of God because our righteousness is his filthy rags. We get that. We know we're supposed to seek to do that which is righteous according to the word of God. We understand that. But at the same time, in the same vein, he's saying you need to seek to be meek. Man, that needs to be on a shirt. Well, we'll have God's Word Baptist Church shirts that say seek the meek. And people are like, what does that mean? Well, you got to come to church to find out. No, I am not marketing. Trust me, I don't do that. But you understand what I'm saying is we need to seek the meekness. We need to find out how in this life Can I truly have that same type of meekness? And if you will, the examples that are given, not only of Moses, but above all with Christ. I mean, there's the pattern of meekness right there is in Christ. And people have a hard time with that. It's a struggle. But look, if you're not meek in your relationships, you are going to bring about some issues and troubles, and it's going to create some problems. Because people are going to try to dominate over another person. Yeah, oh man. I obviously in my long career in the healthcare industry, I will tell you this, sometimes you get individuals that are educated and they think that they are better than another person. And just because they've got whatever behind their name, whatever alphabet you choose, whether they think they've got a PharmD degree, or they're, I've seen these people that somebody had an RN degree, an LPN degree, or whatever it is, certificates and things, and then there was a PharmD, and then they had a JD, meaning that they had gone to some things for law school and things like that, and they had all these things there, and I'm sitting there thinking, man, you spent a fortune. How much are you paying? And I ain't forgiving your school bill, but I'm just going to say that's a lot. And then these people think they're superior.
Right.
You know what? That is a difficult person to deal with. I've been on the conference calls. I've been on the phone where they've been yelling at me. That doesn't always work. It just, I am like, okay, feel free. And they just yell and let them yell. And then you just go like, okay, well, here's the situation. Oh. Here's what you need to do. I'm waiting on you to do this. Oh, why didn't you tell me? I did. Again, you can't just be that dominant personality against everybody. That's not what God wants. He wants humbleness. He wants you to seek the meekness in life. I mean, Matthew 5, verse 5, it talks about, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth, right? Again, understanding, he's talking to Israel there. He's talking about millennial kingdom. He's talking about things of that. But I'll tell you this, there is a blessing when a person desires to be meek in their life. If a person does not have a desire to be meek, the end result of what's going to happen is that they are going to miss out on some of the blessings that God gives to another person. Or gives to that person. You're going to miss out. I mean, again, think about how much Moses saw. Just take a moment and think about that. How much Moses saw. He saw the preservation of his life that was relayed to him about being in that little basket in the river, about having all of the things to know exactly, to be offered the choice, to be given all of those riches, and then to say, I would rather choose Christ. And then again, to see something like a burning bush, to see him stick his hand in his coat, pull it out. Oh, it's leprosy. Oh, dear. Go ahead, put it back in. Puts it back in. Oh, it's clean. Throw your stick down. Oh, it's stick. Turns into a snake. Pick it up. It comes back a stick again. It's like. And then he sees all the plagues. He sees the Passover. He sees the Red Sea. He sees the sun stand still. He sees the promised land. He sees all of these things that God continually does. Makes water come out of a rock. He sees manna. He sees quails. I mean, he sees God's judgment. He sees God's mercy. He just sees everything. He sees the design of the tabernacle and everything that is involved with all of that. He sees the backside of God. He sees God's glory. His goodness. And I believe wholeheartedly the main reason that that happened was because he chose to be meek. I don't see Ahab seeing that stuff. I don't see some of the other kings that were doing things. Pharaoh didn't. He saw some of that, but he didn't see or understand any of it. The blessings that Moses saw because he was meek. Blessed are the meek. Turn to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. Here again, one of the things that the Lord makes very clear is this commandment, and it's reiterated over and over again, because it is an important part of humbleness, meekness, and preferring. In John chapter 13, in verse 34, he says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." Here he is, he's talking to the disciples, he's talking to them, and he's saying, look, this is, you've got to get this down. Because he really, truly reinforces this over and over and over again, and he uses John, if you will, as the preacher of this over and 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 over again. Well, why is that? Because again, if we do not love the Lord the way that he has loved us, we will not love other people. And I will, again, let's back into that. If you don't love other people the way that God tells us to, then you don't have the right kind of love towards God. That may be a bit of a bold statement, but based off of what Christ just said here, he said, look, this is important. And look, it wasn't just a suggestion either, was it? This wasn't like, if you feel like it, try to be kind and loving towards people. Just try. No, he gives what? He says a new what? Commandment. Commandment. If you've ever had any experience about military things or been around those individuals, you understand that when an order is given, you follow the order. You may not agree with the order, but the first thing that they do is they try to get you to understand in basic training is you have no will of your own. As a matter of fact, your will belongs to the drill instructor, who at that point in time is the person that is in command of you. And they teach you the hierarchy of how things work. And if you're a lowly little private, you better do what the colonel tells you to do. Otherwise, there are severe consequences, up to and including jail time. You understand that those things are not optional. This isn't just, again, it's not just suggestion. And disobeying an order has huge implications. You better prove that it was the right decision to do that. And I will tell you this, there is no way that you can prove beyond any reasonable doubt or with any preponderance of the evidence that disobeying God is a good thing. As a matter of fact, God just simply calls that sin. And sin is never good. So what do we understand here? This is a commandment that he has given that we need to follow. And I understand that here he is telling it to the disciples, but it is also something that is reiterated to the rest of the body of Christ. Over again, he reiterates it. It's something we need to understand. With our relationships, we do have to have that. Because again, if you're loving God the way you should, humbleness, meekness, and preference is going to be part of that love. It's going to follow up into it. Go to Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. And in Colossians chapter 3, and in verse 12, It says, and we've, you know, again, we're going to see some repetition with these verses. We've visited this one a couple of times. He says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And again, that is a totally different attitude than what the world has. I mean, the world doesn't behave that way. The world is punitive. I'm sorry, but I have a hard time with somebody that comes up and they have this mentality of they're going to start arguing about the things of God and who he is. And some atheist will get up there and say, well, I don't think God is a very loving God if he would do something like X, Y, and Z. And I'm like, do you think that humanity is very loving? No, humanity is not very loving. And they'll try to argue and they'll say, well, you know, I don't know. You know, I see people being compassionate towards, you know, certain marginalized people. I understand that. I get that. But then in the same vein, those same people that are trying to be nice and loving towards those individuals are the same people that are creating things like, you know, nerve gas to kill people. Manufacturing it. And putting it in weapons. Bit of a hypocrisy, don't you think? Mankind is loving? Look, I understand. I'm not going to pass any judgment on this, but I want you to understand that here we are, the United States of America, thinking about how we need to be caring and loving and things like that, when we are the only nation that dropped two nuclear bombs on people. I get it. I understand. I know what war is. I totally get that. But let's not sit there and throw, you know, humanity up as God and say that humanity is loving when we design weapons like that. But this is what he's saying. This needs to be the different type of thinking. And what do you need to do? You need to put it on. And again, in my Bible, I have that word, those two words put on in a little red box. Why is that? Because you have to make a choice to do that every day. You made a choice to put on clothes this morning. Thank God. You made a choice about what you were going to wear. You tried to coordinate as best as you could, depending on your fashion ability. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But I'm going to say all that to say this, you have to make a choice to put these things on. They're not just going to fall upon you in some Calvinist mentality, okay? It takes a thought process to put these things on. It takes a thought process to put these things on. And it says humbleness of mind and meekness. And what, again, is this all about? This is, again, dealing with the body of Christ, because he starts talking about how we forgive one another. And notice this, that the forgiving part comes after you put on bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering, and forbearing one another, and then comes the forgiving part. You can't do the forgiving if you don't do the ones up above. God has an order for a reason. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 8. As he's gone through some things, talking about husbands and wives and things of that nature, you get down here to verse 8. It says, finally, the word final, we think about it at the end of everything. And again, here's the thought process. Finally, be ye all husbands, wives, whatever relationships it are, there are, of one mind. Of one mind. Look, you go up above and you see there's a lot that's being discussed about wives and husbands and things like that. And let's understand something. When you enter into a marriage relationship, you're gonna realize that that person that you just married doesn't think the same way you do. Anybody have that revelation? Anybody sit there and after you're married go, oh, okay. I mean, we'd like to think that we knew everything about the person before we got married, right? We don't. And guess what? Sometimes people change. They change their preferences. They change their likes. They change and they do different things. And you know what? That's okay. That's fine. But look, when you enter into a relationship, you need to be of the one mindset. And what is that one mindset? Ephesians talks about that in chapter 4. And what is that? Pleasing God, walking worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. A husband and wife, they can disagree about whether they like coffee or tea. They can disagree about which is their favorite, Italian, Chinese, Mexican. They can disagree about what type of car they want, whether they want a sports car or an SUV. They can disagree about all of that. They can disagree about the color of the carpet and things of that nature. And you know what? That's okay. Those are preferences. And people can have preferences. And then you come to a conclusion of, you know, okay, well, yeah, can I live with this? Oh, okay, yeah. Is it a big deal? No, not really. Because in the end, it all burns up anyways, right? I mean, you know, again, it's not that big of a deal, right? But what the big deal is whether or not both of you are going to please the Lord in what you do. If both of you are purposed of one heart and one mind to bring glory to God because that's who you love above your spouse, guess what's going to happen? You're going to be of one mind. He says, look, this is what you need to have for this mentality. Be of one mind. He says, be ye all of one mind. And this is what happens. This is how this works. Having compassion one of another. Look, if you do not have the same mindset of pleasing God, it is going to be difficult to have compassion. One of the main things that we understand about Jesus Christ is that even though he is God and he was showing us as a man what we should be doing, I will tell you this, he showed compassion. He showed compassion. Why? Because his mindset is, I am going to do the will of the Father. If our mindset is, I'm going to do the will of God, compassion is going to be a natural consequence. It's going to be a natural result. Compassion, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, nor railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. That is not the mentality of the world. It is not the mentality of the world to say, I'm going to receive evil and do nothing about it. What is our mindset? Evil is done upon us, and what is our what's our first response? Oh yeah, revenge. And what do? We escalate. Well, how do we know this? Well, it's pretty simple to figure that out. We just take just as an example, take a look at what's going on over there in the Middle East. Okay, so here comes Hamas, and they commit some horrible atrocities. And then Israel goes in, and they start cleaning house. And they start taking out the leaders of these individuals. And people are like, oh, no, have compassion on them and things like that. I get it. I understand you have compassion towards people, but they are, you know, they're executing some justice in that case, as they should. But again, what happens? Then Hezbollah gets involved. And then what does Israel do? They go over and they start taking care of Hezbollah. And then, you know, Iran doesn't like that. So Iran sends over a few missiles. And then what happens next? And then Israel says, okay, we're tired of this. We're going to make sure you have no, you know, anti-air defense. We're going to make sure we pretty much make it so you're going to have to still deal with sticks to fight us. And they're very effective at doing that. And look, I understand they're still God's people, and I understand they've got sin. They still got some blessings that are upon them. Again, curse them, curse thee, and bless them, bless, so on and so forth. But again, we get into this sometimes that mentality that we think we are God's avenger. You are not. You're not called to that ministry. We're like, how do you know? You trust me, you will know if that's the case. But what do we find here? He says, not rendering evil for evil, no railing for railing. Somebody says something to you, you don't have to say anything back. You know what you say back? The contrariwise blessing. Again, I'll give you the example. When I was at a gas station at Costco, when I actually used to get gas for the truck that I have. I don't get gas anymore. But I was there, and because of the positioning and having to get in there, I was like right next to the line, okay? I wasn't into the pathway. I was right next to the line. It was only a couple of inches, but I was within the space, okay? I'm not trying to justify. And it was difficult for, you know, a larger vehicle to get around. And there was a larger vehicle that was behind me. They had a hard time getting around. And they were having to jockey and do all these things. They got upset, even though I had to go around them, and they were in the lane of traffic. I, you know, did my thing and so on and so forth. They got a little upset. They told me what their IQ was, and then they began to curse at me. And of course, everybody sees it. Well, you know, I could have, you know, said something back. Definitely wouldn't have been Christian. I could have made hand gestures too. That wouldn't have been Christian. So as they're driving off and they're glaring at me, I just yelled at the top of my lungs, "Have a nice day!" And they just glare at me and tear off out of there. And the Costco gas station attendant is over there, and he is belly laughing so hard. He said, "I have never seen anything like that in my entire life." He said, "That is good. What am I going to do? Wishing somebody to have a nice day? I think that's okay." But again, this is the mentality, and what happens, it changes the way we operate in relationships. Take a look at chapter 5 of the same book, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. Again, he says, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder." Man, that's a difficult thing to do. Oh, especially in this day and age where you get somebody that is, you know, Gen Z, and they start walking in there, and they think they know everything about everything because they're an influencer on TikTok. And they start telling you how to do your job, and you're just like, what do you have to do? Be humble. Be meek. Be preferential. You gotta be careful. But he says here, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder." That's part of being humble, submission. "Yea, all of you, be subject one to another." That sounds like Ephesians 5. And he says, "And be ye clothed with" what? Humility. Humility. "For God resisteth the proud," book of James, "and God giveth grace to the humble." You want the grace of God in your life? Humbleness is where it's at. How you treat other people is going to determine how God is going to use you and work in your life. You may have all the knowledge of the Bible, but if you treat people like garbage, God's not going to use you. At least not the way you think. We got to be careful. The next point that we see there is we have to see that we have to be generous and willing to give. Again, there's a Romans 12 reference in there that we'll get to, but again, this is the mentality. You turn over to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, again, this is the mindset that we're supposed to have, the heart attitude, because again, one thing that I know about God is a giving God. He gives and gives and gives and gives and gives and gives and gives. You know what? You take a look at some of those other gods, and guess what? They're not giving. They're taking. The other gods out there, and I again, you can name any one of them that are out there. They demand they receive. Now look, I understand that we give to God and he says you should, but I'll tell you this, before we even give to God, we understand that God gave to us far more, far, far more than we could ever give to God. Far more. What do? We give to God. We see in this passage here in Matthew chapter 5 and in verse 42, he says, "Give unto him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, would borrow of thee, turn not thou away." We just need to be giving. It's hard to be in a relationship where you're just the taker. And sometimes relationships get that way, where somebody just takes and 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 takes. That's a person that doesn't understand a godly relationship. As a Christian, we should never have that. The world does that. The world demands it. That's what humanism does. Humanism is, if you will, the basis form of a beast-like thinking, because it relates directly to, if you will, what Charles Darwin talked about, which is survival of the fittest. Exercising dominance. So again, when somebody says, well, humanity is loving and caring and God isn't, and I'm like, no, it's not. According to your own doctrines and your own theology, it is every man for himself. It's every man for himself. God said you have to have a different attitude. Take a look at Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Verse 42, "Whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones of a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward." Now again, I know what this is talking about. I know who this is all referencing. But the idea and the concept of what I'm trying to show you here is that giving is something that is part of godliness. Regardless of whatever age you are in. It was part of the Old Testament. It is part of the New Testament. There should be a giving desire. It shouldn't be a hoarding desire. We talked about that the other day when we were talking about the man that built bigger barns. Rather than build bigger barns where you have more than enough, why don't you go ahead and give to those? I mean, that was a principle that they had even in their farming. You never went all the way to the corner. When you were doing your fields, what did you do? You left the corners for the gleaners. Where the people that did not have what they needed, they would be able to go to a field and say, "Can I glean your corner?" And they'd be like, "Absolutely. That's what it's there for. Please feel free." And they would go out there and they would manually labor to receive those things that they could go home and feed their family with. I mean, the book of Ruth is about that. We find it as a principle of the Old Testament. We find it very much as a principle in the New Testament as well. Take a look at Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, and in verse 35, it says, "For I was hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, ye took me in, naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me." Then the righteous answer him, saying, "Lord, when saw we thee hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee to drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Now, a lot of people take this and totally, you know, miss the doctrine behind it. But I'll just tell you here, what he's talking about is, look, during that tribulation period of time, how you treat the nation of Israel is going to determine what happens to you next. And when he's talking about the least, he's talking about the nation of Israel being whittled down to that little remnant. And there will be people during the tribulation period that will have compassion upon his people, that will feed his people, that will hide his people, that will clothe his people, that will take care of his people. And guess what? They're going to sit there and go, why do we get blessings and this other nation is just getting, you know, blown apart? Because you took care of what I liked, what I love. And we realize the same principle is true with what we have in our life. Take a look at what we see in the book of Mark. Turn to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. In verse 41, it says, And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto them, unto him his disciples, and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than all they which have cast into the treasury. For they did cast in of their abundance, but she cast in want, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. She gave it all. It wasn't much, but she gave it all. And again, you know, that's the mentality. Some people can't give a lot. You know, there are people that in their life, and again, I'm not going to necessarily talk about money, but maybe even of themselves. Maybe their body just can't do it. Maybe their body just can't do it. But they do a little bit. They do a little bit. God considers that greater than somebody that has the ability to do everything. Why? Because it shows the nature of the person's heart. It's easy to give when you've got more to give. It's harder to give when you don't have much to give. And it means a lot more to God. It means a lot more to God. Take a look at Romans chapter 12. There's this reference again to Romans 12. And again, the context of being verses 1 and 2, where we're talking about changing our mindset. And here's how we go about, you know, transforming our thinking process. And one of the things that we do in verse 8 here, talking about these individuals that have differing gifts. And here he's saying of some people, he says, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. And again, that's the idea, is you just give and you give simply. Just give simply. It's not that hard. It's not that complex. And I'll tell you this, there are some people that have more to give and have a different mentality about giving. And if you will, their gift is being a giver. That's just what they do in the ministry. And praise God for those people. And whether they're giving financially, whether they're giving materially, whether they're giving of themselves spiritually, whether they're giving of themselves in compassion and care and counseling, or whether they're giving of themselves in labor, whatever it is, there's the giving part that it needs to be there. And what do? We do it with simplicity. No grandstanding, no fanfare. We just give. We just give. We look at verse 13 of the same chapter. He says, distributing to the necessity of saints. Give into hospitality. This is something that we need to be. We need to be hospitable people. We need to be hospitable towards each other. Failing to do that is going to create a problem. Failing to do that creates this mentality of not helping. I mean, again, you take a look at the word hospitality, and what is one of the words that you can kind of derive from that? Hospital. Hospitality isn't just about opening your doors and welcoming people in and they come into the scent of fresh baked cookies. Hospitality is you come and you minister to people that are in need and that are hurting and that are sick. That's hospitality. That's hospitality. We're running out of time, but I want us to turn back over to 1 Peter chapter 4. Well, we'll close with this verse. In 1 Peter chapter 4. And again, we see this principle that regardless, if you will, of who the Lord's using to write these things down, whether it's Peter, whether it's Paul, whether it's Matthew, it doesn't matter. Whether it's John, we see this principle. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and then verse 9 here, he says, use hospitality one to another without grudging. When you're hospitable towards another person, you need to make sure that your mindset isn't, you're like, oh, well, I guess I'll have to do this because the Lord tells me to. Well, there goes your reward. Watch that thing go up like a tinderbox. You don't do it without grudging. You don't sit there and go, come on, can't they just get over it? That's not the right attitude. It's not that hard attitude that we should have. We should be generous. We should be willing to give of ourselves, of our heart, of our compassion, of our hospitality. All because this helps the relationship that we have with them, because this is the type of relationship that God has had towards us. Let's go ahead and close with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you again for the time. I thank you again for an opportunity, Lord, to just be in your word and to hear these principles. And Lord, I pray that we would use them in a way that would glorify, honor, and give you praise. I thank you again, Lord, for your word that teaches us and guides us. And I pray, Lord, that we would be diligent to listen in the next hour. And Lord, use these things for your pleasure according to your will. And these things I ask and pray in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.